Okay, you guys ready? Let's see your Bibles this morning. Word. Let's see your pens. And your lesson plan. Oh, you're getting kind of weak on me now. Let's turn to Revelation. And while you turn to Revelation chapter 3, let me say this. We have a married couples retreat coming up. In the last 2 years, we doubled in size, went from 190 couples to 180 couples. And we have a limit. And I can tell you, we have all the people who went, y'all have a great time last year? It is the bomb. So if you're married, and if you are having problems in your marriage, we especially want you. Really. This is not, you know, just for us to go away and just have time with our we want to minister and give people a chance, marriages to be healed. And if you think your marriage is on the rocks, it cannot be saved, please come and sign up at the table outside or in the back. Because we have a hotel in La Quinta, in Palm Springs. They have 42 pools, and it's a big old gigantic place. And we're gonna have a lot of free time to hang out and have a good time with your spouse. Okay, we believe in enjoying your spouse, so we be having fun. Revelation chapter 3. Lord, I pray you bless us, help us to learn, help us to have bless our understanding. In Jesus' name, amen. We have about 30 minutes, and it's going to be somewhat, we have a lot of information to go over with you, so I want to preface this by saying we're going to hit a lot of information. I cannot encourage you enough when you go home to read this stuff again, to get the CD, because in order to be equipped to witness Jehovah's Witnesses, it takes a lot of studying. They have confused Christianity and the truth in a very masterful way. They do not believe what we believe. They are a cult. They do distort the identity of Christ, and we're going to look at that right now. But I can't encourage you enough when you leave to take the lesson plan and the Bible and to read this stuff over and over again, because it is a lot of stuff. You just can't get it that quick. Okay? Amen? And so I forgive me in the beginning by going fast. Okay? Jehovah's Witnesses was started in the mid-late 1800s by Charles Taze Russell, 18 years old. He started a Bible study. He ended up eventually starting the Watchtower Tract and Bible Society. They believe things very contrary to the Bible, one, that only 144,000 people are truly born again and will go to heaven. The Bible clearly says in Revelation 7 that those 144,000 are Jews who get saved and minister in the Great Tribulation. They don't believe Jesus resurrected physically. They believe he vaporized in the tomb. Well, the Bible clearly says that he was held after his resurrection. The Bible clearly says he ate after the resurrection, that people touched him, hugged him, and that he ministered after the resurrection. They believe there is no hell. The Bible clearly says that hell was created for the devil and his demons, and people who reject the gospel will go to hell and suffer. The Bible says that the hell is a place where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. They don't believe that the Holy Spirit is a person. When I say person, I don't mean a human, but a distinct God of the Trinity. They believe that there is no Trinity, that there's only God the Father. Christ is not God, and the Holy Spirit is not God. They believe the Holy Spirit is a force, like electricity. Well, the Bible clearly says that Jesus said when he would ascend to heaven, he would send to us the Holy Spirit. And he says, he will abide in you. He, the Holy Spirit, will convict you of sin. He will guide you in all truth. He, the Holy Spirit, will glorify Christ. He will also pray for you. The Bible says in Romans 8 that the Holy Spirit prays for us on our behalf. That when you pray, you don't know what to pray. But the Holy Spirit prays and intercedes on your behalf with groanings which cannot be uttered. So that is not a force. That is a person of the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. So they believe all these things. But one of the things that they believe that we're going to look at today is, who is Jesus? And we just did a whole series on who is Jesus really. And I encourage you to get those CDs, go on the internet, listen to the tapes. We got lesson plans on the internet. So you can't study that enough. But they attack the identity of Christ. And so we're going to look at six ways that they attack it. And we're going to look at how bogus they are. Number one. In your notes, it says, Jehovah's Witnesses, which, by the way, Jehovah Witness is not in the Bible, those two words, but that's a whole other thing. Jesus is the beginning of, they say, Jesus is the beginning of, therefore, he had a beginning and was therefore created. They will cite verses in the Bible where it says Jesus is the beginning of creation. And they will say, because it says he is the beginning of creation, that he had a beginning and was created. Okay? The Bible says that the term beginning of means beginner or originator of creation. Christ is the beginning of creation because all creation started with him. It's as simple as that. And they will twist it around. Let's look at verse 14 of chapter 3. It says in Revelation, and to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. This is Jesus speaking to John, the author of the book of Revelation. If you have a red letter edition, these are red letters. This is Jesus speaking. And it says, these things says, and he gives himself titles. The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Now, what a Jehovah's Witness will say is that Christ is the first thing Jehovah created because he is the beginning of creation. Well, turn to Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation 1, 8. It says, Jesus says, I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, or the beginning and the end. All that means, Alpha is the first letter in the Greek language, the Omega is the last letter. All that means is Christ is saying, everything begins with me, and everything stops with me. It doesn't mean he had a beginning and will have an end. He's eternal. And so what they're trying to tell you is that beginning of creation means he was the first thing created, when in fact he is the creator. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Oh man, how am I going to find that? Just try. You're going to go towards the beginning about 10 books from Revelation. Colossians 1. And these verses are written in your lesson plan. If you somehow don't get it, you can read it later, and I please encourage you to do that. Let me read it to you. It says, Colossians 1:15. It says that Jesus, he is the image of the invisible God. Stop. If you want to see God, you look at Jesus. We are not the image of the invisible God. Now, we have the image of God. It's stamped in our heart. We have an ability to love. We have a conscience. We have the ability to forgive and to repent. We were made in the image of God, but we are not the image of God. In other words, if I said to you, I am the image of the invisible God, what I'd be saying to you is, when you see me, you see the Father. That's what Jesus actually said. He said, the Father and I are one. What Paul's saying here is that Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is God in the flesh. And it says in verse, and then it says he's the firstborn over all creation. We'll talk about what firstborn means. Verse 16. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, thrones, powers, rulers, or authorities. All things were created by him and for him. He is before all things. Everyone say all things. In him all things hold together. Say all things. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead. What that means is that Christ brought everything into existence. He himself was not brought into existence. Now, what Jehovah's Witnesses will say is, well, God created Christ. Then Christ created everything else. Sounds like a good argument. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44. Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, we're going to read, is going to tell us that the Lord God Jehovah created everything by himself. Well, you're going to see in a minute, if Jesus created everything and Jehovah created everything, they must be the same person. Or somebody's confused, God or Jesus. Let me read it to you. Isaiah 44, it says, thus says the Lord Jehovah, or as the lady said, Jehovah, your Redeemer, and the one who formed you from the womb, I, the Lord. Everyone say, I, the Lord. I, the Lord, am the maker of all things, stretching out the heavens by myself and spreading out the earth all alone. Three times. He says, I, the Lord, created everything. Well, Paul said that Jesus created everything. Well, guess what? They're the same person. Because Jesus couldn't have created it and Jehovah created it and be two different people. Somebody is wrong. Or they're the same person. Okay, number two, look at your notes. Jehovah's Witnesses say, if Jesus is the firstborn, he was the first to be born, thus he is not God, because he was born. Firstborn is a title and status symbol, not a birth order position. Firstborn is a title. Turn to Genesis, first book in the Bible, 48. Genesis 48, first book in the Bible. Now, as you turn there, let me explain this to you. In the Old Testament, when a father died, he would give the oldest firstborn a double inheritance because his responsibility was to care for the family and the mom. The firstborn was the spiritual leader of the house. He represented the family to God. So this firstborn blessing went to the most responsible child. Often it was the oldest, but sometimes it was not. But it was the firstborn blessing. When you see in the Bible, this is my firstborn, it's not necessarily the firstborn created. It's the one God designates as his the most blessed a person or nation, for that matter. In this story we're going to look at, Jacob had 12 sons, and Jacob was getting ready to die. And he starts to pray and bless his children and grandchildren. Well, two of his grandsons were Manasseh and Ephraim. They were brothers. Manasseh was the older brother, the first to be born. Ephraim was the younger brother, the second to be born. And so Jacob, their granddad, was placing his hands on their head, and whoever you placed your right hand on, you got the bigger blessing, the blessing of the firstborn. Well, he happens to place his right hand on the younger son. And the dad says, no, this is the older son. Give him the bigger blessing. And the granddad says, no. The younger will be greater than the older. The younger got the blessing of the firstborn, even though he wasn't. It was the blessing and status of firstborn that was the emphasis, not who was born first. Let's read that in Genesis 48. Genesis 48 says, verse 17. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, the younger, he was displeased. And he took hold of his father's hand to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said, no, my father, this is the first one or the firstborn to be born. Your right hand is on his head. Put your right hand on his head. But his father said, no, I know, my son, I know. He too will become a great people. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. His name was Israel. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh, the younger before the older. So he put his head, put Ephraim ahead of his brother Manasseh. In Jeremiah 31:9, it says, God says, for I am father to Israel, and Ephraim, the younger, is my firstborn. He wasn't the oldest son. Write down Psalm 89:27. Psalm 89:27, God says of King David, the King David who killed Goliath, it says, I will appoint him my firstborn, the most excellent of all the kings of the earth. Now, if you ever hear the term the son of David, Jesus is considered the son of David. He's not a direct son. He's a son by, you know, many, many generations. But he is a descendant of David. The Messiah, one of the Messiah's title is Son of David. Well, in Psalm 89:27, God says, I am going to make David my firstborn. Well, David had seven brothers that were older than him. He wasn't even number two. And he wasn't the first king or the last king. So he had no first birthright order in any way you look at it. But God made him the firstborn, because he says, I'm going to designate you as the man after my own heart. You're going to be the guy I'm going to identify Jesus as the son of. And he gave him that blessing of firstborn. So when you see Christ as the firstborn over all creation, he is the one with the preeminent blessing from God to lead the church, to represent God. to preach and proclaim the gospel. That's what that means. It doesn't mean he was born. Christ is eternal. Next one, number three. Turn to John 14. John 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Everybody say, when I get home. Everybody say, when I get home. I need to read this again. Okay, John 14. Get the CD. Listen to it on the internet. John 14. You're going to see, and there are many places in the Bible where Jesus will say, I have come to do the will of the Father. I receive from the Father. I do what he says. He granted me this. He granted me that. Jehovah's Witness will tell you, because Christ is serving the Father, which is all that is, he is less than the Father. Well, let me tell you something. Happy Father's to all the Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day, fellas. And the reason I bring that up now is because the Bible says that the man is the head of the wife. And that the wife is supposed to submit to the man as she submits to the Lord. But there's a part B, brother. And part B is that the man is supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church and laid his life down. So, though the guy should say, woman, you're supposed to submit to me as to the Lord, the woman says, then you need to die on the cross for me, Mr. Man. The man as the head of the house is not a more important human or a more insignificant human. He has a different position. And the man in his position should serve his wife. Now, the woman is supposed to serve her husband. When two people serve each other, guess what you have? Peace. When two people try to boss each other around, you got conflict. So Christ came as an example to us, say, I am going to serve the Father, and as you see me do that, you do the same. Doesn't mean he's not God. And so if a woman is submitting to a husband and another woman says, you need to stand up. She says, no, I am standing up. Believe me, he's not more important than me. We understand our relationship because that's how God set it up. Doesn't mean one's more important than the other. Well, Jesus submitting to the Father doesn't mean he's less than the Father. Okay, let me read. This is the verse they read. Verse 28. It says, you heard me say, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. And then the very last few words, for my Father is greater than I. They will tell you that because he says that, he is more important. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, I have humbled myself. Matter of fact, you're in John, turn to Philippians, about seven books back, towards the back. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians, Acts, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. We're going to see that Jesus Christ humbled himself and became a man. Though he was God, he humbled himself and became a man. Okay, let me read this to you. Let's start at verse 3. Philippians 2, 3. Paul says to us, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than yourself. He's saying, look, we should always esteem others better than ourselves. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. And then it says in verse 4, let each of you look not on your own interests, but on the interests of others. So he's telling us, you need to humble yourself and serve each other. And then he's going to give us an example. And the example is Jesus. Look what it says. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Let me ask you a question. Can you rob or steal something that belongs to you? Okay, just think about it. I'm going to ask you it again. I want everyone to say yes or no. Can you rob or steal something that already belongs to you? No. Well, look what it says. It says, verse 6, Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Why? Because he was already God. Remember, Paul says, I want you to humble yourself, and let me give you an example. Christ, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery or lying or stealing to be up at this level of God. You look what he did. The Bible says in verse 7, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and becoming in the likeness of man, and being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. Christ, being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be God, humbled himself and became a man, and said, I will die on the cross. Remember when he was praying, Father, right before he got crucified, you saw the Passion of Christ, it opened with this scene. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane praying. And he says, Father, if there's any other way, but your will be done. He's submitting it to the Father. And because he submitted, he was resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, and one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. But that was a role he played. He submitted himself. And so when you see someone, Christ, say, I receive the Son of my Father, or I do the Father's will, all he's doing is displaying an example for us. Christ prayed all night. We need to pray all night. Christ used the word fighting the devil. We need to use the word fighting the devil. Christ forgave people who betrayed him. We need to forgive people who betrayed us. Christ died on the cross. Well, do you think God ever ceased to exist? No. He's God. So when Christ as a man had certain things he did as a man, doesn't mean he ceased to be God. Matter of fact, let me read to you some things that he did as a man and as a God at the same time. It says, one, as God, he is worshiped, Jesus. As man, he worshiped the Father. As God, he is called God. As man, he is called man. Jesus is called the Son of God, he's called the Son of Man. Jesus is prayed to, and Jesus prays to the Father. Jesus is sinless, and he also was tempted. Jesus knows all things as God, and the Bible also says he grew in wisdom. The Bible says Jesus gives eternal life, and the Bible says Jesus also died. He was man and God, both. And when he humbled himself, he says, I will now serve as my role here as Christ, and I'm going to be an example. If you remember when he was baptized, John the Baptist says, Why am I baptizing you? You need to baptize me. You're the Messiah. And Jesus says, we need to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Let's just go with the plan. I'm doing this as an example. That's what he said. And so he got baptized. Do you think he needed that? It was all part of the plan of what we should do. So when it says that he was submitted to the Father, he voluntarily submitted to the Father. Number four. Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus was brought forth or created. The Bible clearly says that it is wisdom, not Jesus, that was brought forth. Wisdom. Turn to Proverbs 8. If you heard the young Jehovah's Witness lady say that it was wisdom, Jesus was created, and she read it real fast. They read it real fast because they don't want you to catch it. Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8 says, let's read what she read. Proverbs 8, verse 22. And again, these are all in your notes. Proverbs 8, 22, it says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works were of old, verse 23, I have been established from everlasting. From beginning and before there ever was on an earth. It says, and it says, when there was no depths, I was brought forth. Excuse me, what they'll say is that Jesus was brought forth, he was possessed. Well, this is not talking about Jesus at all. It's talking about wisdom. Look at verse 1. Verse 1 says, does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the hill. Well, one, it's talking about wisdom. Two, Jesus ain't a she. Jesus ain't a she. Look at verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge. Wisdom. Look at verse 22. The Lord possess me wisdom. At the beginning of his way, before his works of old. That's why the me is with a small m and not a capital M. I, wisdom, have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there ever was an earth, and there was no depths. I, wisdom, was brought forth. It's very simple. They're just showing you what they want to show you and say what they want to say. They're just lying to you. And by the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses have their own Bible. They add words to say what they want to say. They do not have the same Bible that is, they have, the matter of fact, the Bible they have, only they have it. Their Bible doesn't agree with the NIV, King James, New King James. They have their own Bible where they put their own words and prepositions in there to say what they want to say. And matter of fact, in our next 2 points after this, you'll see one of their favorite changes. Number five, Jesus, Jehovah's Witnesses say, Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Michael the Archangel. The Bible says Jesus is superior to all angels in many ways. Turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, all the way to Revelation. Revelation 1. When you get to Revelation 1, I want you to turn backwards to one, the page right before it, and it's the book of Jude. That's where we're going. He's trying to help brother out, you know what I'm saying? Y'all looking all day for this one chapter. It's only one chapter long. Okay. Okay. The Jehovah's Witnesses say Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Let me tell you, if they ever say it to you, what you need to ask them is to show you one place in the Bible that says Jesus is Michael the Archangel, and it is nowhere in the Bible. That should be enough. But since it's not, what we're going to show you in this story, Michael the Archangel is having a dispute with the devil. And the dispute is over the body of Moses. Moses died on Mount Nebo. You remember? Everyone say Nebo? He died on Mount Nebo, and the Bible says his body was never found. It probably would have been worshipped. That's just a theory, but his body was never found. The Lord took it. Well, the Bible says here that Michael and the devil are having this argument over this body. And the Bible is going to say that the Michael the Archangel, who is Jesus, doesn't bring an accusation against the devil. He says, the Lord rebuke you. Now, Michael's Jesus, why don't he rebuke him himself? Because in Matthew 4, Jesus and the devil went head-to-head. They went head-to-head. And Jesus didn't have a problem. Jesus said, hey, look, he didn't have a problem. Well, I got to talk to my dad. You know, no, he went head-to-head with Christ, with the devil. The Bible says that Jesus saw the devil flash out of heaven like lightning in Luke 10:18. But in this story, Michael, the archangel, won't confront. He has to say, the Lord rebuke you. So let's read it. Look what it says in verse 9. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. The Lord. Now, one, there's no place that Jesus is Michael, the archangel. And two, if Jesus is the Lord, why is he asking the Lord to do something he should do himself? Turn to Revelation chapter 22. Another thing we know about angels is that angels are not to be worshipped. And we're going to see, and if you look at the verses I have there in your Bible, I mean your notes, there's two places. We're just going to look at one right now. Revelation 22, verse 8. Revelation 22, verse 8. It says, now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard them and saw, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he, the angel, said, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and of your brethren, the prophets, and of these who keep the words of this book. Worship God. Now, if Michael, and believe me, Michael was not to be worshipped. He was an angel just like Gabriel and all the other angels. Jesus received worship repeatedly. The leper worshipped him. All the demon-possessed people worshipped him. John said, my Lord, my God. He worshipped him. His disciples worshipped him. demon possessed people, the leper, the blind man worshipped him over and over and again. He was worshipped, and not one time did Jesus ever say, "Don't worship me." Why? Because he was God. He was worthy of worship. He even said to the devil, "You shall not serve and worship anybody but God alone." He received worship. Angels did not receive worship. Well, if Jesus is Michael Archangel, we got a problem. Because Jesus, angel can't be worshipped, but yet Jesus received it. They're not. Last one. Turn to John chapter 1. John 1. And this is the favorite verse they like to add in their deal, their changes. John 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Are you guys following? Okay. Are you guys enjoying it? Good, good, good. Go home and read this stuff again. It's real good stuff. And by the way, when you read this stuff and the Jehovah's Witness comes to your door, just understand there's a whole lot more to witnessing to them effectively. And so if you come to the door with this stuff saying, "I'm going to get you," if you stick to these verses, you might be okay. But they live and eat, live and breathe to do this and twist you up. They have techniques. They are very skilled, trained to confuse you. So just know that. You'll come out of those conversations feeling bad, but it's really good for you. It'll make you study more, okay? Look what it says in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Everyone say Word. Word. The Word was with God. Say with God. And the Word was God. Say was God. In their Bible, they insert the word, the letter A, and they said the Word was a God. Their Bible is wrong. No other Bible on the planet Earth except the Jehovah's Witness Bible says that, because they put it in there. In other places, they put words in. So if you read their Bible, you are not reading a legitimate Bible. They put in the Word was a God, and again, their Bible is the only Bible that says that. Now, a couple things you want to say is, one, that's not in the original Greek. You're not a Greek student, so, you know, they'll just eat you up and spit you out with all their Greek twisting, but it is not in the Greek. That is legitimate. They have they put it in there themselves. But what you want to ask them if they say that, you want to say, so Jesus was a God. Yes. Was he a true God or a false God? If this God and then the Word was another God, is the Word this other God, this a God? Is it a true God or a false God? And if they say a false God, so then Jesus was a false God. So then if he was a false God, that's a bad thing. So then why is he anybody that we should talk about or worship if he's a false God? If he's a true God, that means there's more than one God. Well, everybody knows there's only one God. So we got a problem. Either there's two true gods or these two gods are the same God. The Bible says there's only one God. Write down Exodus chapter 20, verse 3. God says, "You shall have no other gods but me alone." Exodus 20, verse 3. It's the Ten Commandments. Write down Mark chapter 12, verse 32. Jesus having a discussion with the religious. They says, "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but him." There's only one God. Now, Mark chapter 12, Mark 12, verse 32. Mark 12. And all you got to do is look up in the Bible in the countless verses that say there's only one God. Now, what did Jehovah's Witness say? Well, you know, the Father is the Almighty God, and Jesus is the Mighty God. They will say that. Now, you still got two gods, but let's just play along with them. Okay, so the Father is the Almighty God, and Jesus is the Mighty God. He's the lesser God. So there's a mighty and lesser God in the Bible? Have them explain that. But then you want to say, okay, so mighty God. Write down Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah 9, 6. Because in Isaiah 9, 6, it describes Jesus as a mighty God. Okay, it says, "For a child will be born, a son will be given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God." See, Jesus is a mighty God. Then you say, well, let's keep reading, Jehovah's Witness person. It says, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." Well, if this mighty God is also the Eternal Father, what father is this over here, the Almighty God? Same person. Again, you have in your notes Isaiah chapter 10, verse 20. You also have in your notes Jeremiah 32, verse 18, I believe. If you don't, you can write that in there. Isaiah 10, 20, and 21, and Jeremiah. And those talk about the Lord God, Jehovah, being simply mighty God. And lastly, we'll end with this. Thomas, when he saw Jesus' nail prints, he said to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus did not tell him, "Don't call me God, because I'm not God." He says, "Blessed are you because you believe. But you've seen. Blessed are those who never seen my nail prints and believe." Again, now, there's a lot of information. I can't encourage you enough. You cannot, no matter how skilled and anointed any preacher or teacher is, you cannot grow just by listening in church once a week, as you could if you went home and read. There's no human on the planet that can do that for you. I encourage you, go home, take this lesson plan, get the tape, listen to it on the internet at home, whatever, and go through this stuff and look these verses up again and talk about it with somebody. That's the only way you're really going to learn it, okay? And so I can't encourage you enough. You say, "Well, I went too fast, a lot of information." That's okay. This can't be the only feeding you get. Go home and feed yourself, serve yourself a plate of the Word of God, and feed on that bad boy. Amen? If you're a married couple, go out and sign up for the marriage retreat. And fathers, have a happy Father's Day. Let's all pray. Lord, we just thank you for your word. Thank you for blessing us. And we pray that you bless all of us today. And I pray, Lord, that you would stir the church's heart to learn and to read and to study on their own. In Jesus' name, amen.